So this is Sue Hinton. This is the associate director of the Hoving Home. Sue's been with the Hoving Home for 21 years, which is really awesome. So thank you.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you today. Thank you for coming. And our prayer is that you would be encouraged today, that you would be lifted up as we lift up the name of Jesus. The Hoving Home is the one that we're from, is located in Garrison, New York. We are a 12-month residential discipleship program for women who struggle with drugs, alcohol, criminal backgrounds, and all the other stuff that comes with that lifestyle. We invite women in to learn about Jesus, to be introduced to him, and then have an opportunity to learn to live differently. The ladies have personal studies, they have group studies, they go to church services, and then they spend half a day in a work area. And that's helping out in the home. We're all a big family, everybody's got to do their part, and it helps them to practice the skills that they have or learn new skills. In addition to that, they can learn good work ethics. And so our goal is that when our women walk out of the Hoving Home, that they would be with their heads lifted up, with the confidence that Jesus Christ is walking with them and within them, and that they can be kind to others, they can work well with others, because they've lived at the Hoving Home with 30 or 40 people for over a year, which is a task. Trying to get into the bathroom, you know what it's like in your own family, can you imagine ours? And so it's about the transformation that Jesus Christ does in our life. So we're here today to tell you a little bit about our program, to share the testimonies of what God has done, and to lift up the name of Jesus. So we ask that you would participate in our worship time. I was thinking about it. I thought, I wish we had the words to put up when the choir is singing so that everyone could participate, but we don't have that today. So we do have three other homes. One is located in Pasadena, California. We have one in Las Vegas, Nevada. We have one in Oxford, New Jersey. And just this year, we opened a Women and Children's Center on the Garrison location. And so we're not far from you. So maybe you would be interested in taking a ride over sometime, get a tour of the facility. You could have lunch with us. You could come as a group. You could come as individuals. But we would love to have you come. At this time, I'm going to ask the choir to come up. And they're going to sing. You can come. They're going to sing, and they are going to, whoops. Let me try not to knock them over. I almost fell down the step on the first service, which is why I stayed on the floor today, or on the second one. And that didn't work as well either, right? I got to practice a little more. But the ladies are going to sing and share some testimonies. And I just thank you for listening, because you own a part of the success of each of these ladies by supporting us, by praying for us. And I'm going to give you opportunities to come in, you know, get involved in the ministry if you'd like to. But I'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Believing at any moment we could lose it all. Hi, good morning, church. My name is Tiffany, and when I was born, I was given away for adoption. My mother was a heroin addict who gave me up, who later got murdered. I was raised by my great aunt, who was very abusive, and I lived a life of pain and no self-worth and just destruction. As I got older, I just left out of the house and I got into drugs and alcohol. I made some bad choices because I wasn't loved in the house that I was in. I didn't have no self-worth. I had no self-esteem. I was always told I was never going to be nothing. I'd never be good enough. And I was just like my mother. So I believe them lies of the enemy, but today I don't believe them no more because God loves me. I struggled growing up with my identity, and I stayed in the addiction for 25 years, and just like in and out of jail, on the streets, trying to survive. Like, I didn't even know who I was. It was a mask that I was wearing. And I'm nervous today, I don't know why. During my addiction, I ended up getting stabbed in my leg 6 times, and I have 180 stitches in my leg, and I almost left my life. But God had his life on me. He had his hand on me the whole time. And I thank God for being here today. Since I've been in a home, since I've been at the Hovind home, I have life today. I have a purpose. I have a future, which I never had before. And I have promises that God has given me. Today I can be strong, I can be confident in the Lord, and he directs my path and he directs my ways, and I don't go on my own understanding. I wait for him to direct my steps. So, and my future, the scripture I stand on is, no, wait a minute, sorry. My future plans is to become a minister and to help other women. And my future plans, oh my God, I'm getting so nervous, I'm sorry. the scripture I leave you with is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you future and hope. Thank you.
I think everyone can relate that it's not easy to get up and share your story. And how long have you been in the program? 6 months. And so you... What's that?
I said I couldn't even get one day clean.
Couldn't get one day clean. And now she's been clean for 6 months. And not just clean, but living for Jesus. She was nervous, but when she got to that scripture, she got it, right? And then it came, and that's what it's about. It's about living life differently. It's about bringing women hope. It's amazing how different the stories are. One person grew up in a drug-addicted house, felt like she wasn't wanted. And God brought her to a place of knowing that she has family around her and knowing that she has a life. And then you have others that have had a good family and a lot of opportunities in life and ended up here anyway. I think of Brianna, who had a good life, and she's here today. Wait, Brianna, so you know who you are. And she's getting ready to complete the program pretty soon. And so it doesn't matter where we've come from. It just matters where we're going. And they all have different plans and they all have different futures. And, you know, it's people like you that make a difference in people like us. I went through the program myself, so it's people like us that need you. And one of the things that I was thinking about with Brianna is she's getting ready to go off to college, and we were talking about community, and she got a little bit nervous about it. And she came and talked to me, and I told her, I said, you know, we'll call the church in advance, and we'll ask them to have somebody meet you. Because she was kind of nervous, you know, you go to church for the first time, you're out there drug-free for the first time. And so I said, we'll have somebody meet you. She's going to be in Alabama, right? Mississippi. So she's going to be in Mississippi. So we're going to call the church down there and have somebody greet her. And so, you know, I know that there are churches down there. And I know that, you know, she researched and picked a church. And so it's your community that makes a difference in our life. Some of the opportunities that we have for you are on this blue card. Thank you. If you would like to fill out this blue card, everyone should have one in their highlighter. You can put your name and address on it, and you'll start getting our quarterly newsletter. In addition to that, we will exchange this coupon at the back table for a 7 Standards of Performance, which was written by John Benton, who has gone on to be with the Lord about a year and a half ago. And then there's other opportunities on there. There is sponsoring a lady monthly. That is a financial thing. There's Christian family applications and volunteer applications. I just wanted to talk for a second about Christian families. You have a Christian family, right? Why don't you tell us how that makes a difference for you?
So I go out, they come and pick me up, and they take me out, and we talk very positively. And it's like a family that I didn't have, and I'm learning how to live life, you know, Christian life, you know, not of the old world, you know what I mean? And they're very supportive.
So she now has the family that she didn't have because she got a Christian family who comes and visits her, takes her out, and just helps her along the way. And then she was telling me that we have to pray for the husband in that family because his dad died. So it's not just a gimme gimme, it's a back and forth. We also have opportunities for our completers. This is something kind of new that I've come up with, but our completer program is where ladies have finished the program and they're still living on the property, but they work outside. And some of them don't know how to do a budget, how to manage a checkbook, are going to work for the first time. Now that opportunity is a little bit different because they have cell phones. So you can call them. You can stay in touch with them. You don't have to be right there all the time. The other thing is they work during the day, which many of you possibly do. And so the schedule might work for you to be kind of like a life coach for one of our women. And so if you're interested in that, come and talk to me after the service. We have needs for a computer teacher. We have different Bible teachers come on Saturdays. And Pastor, maybe you would even come and speak at a chapel service for us. We would love to have you. So if you're interested in getting involved in Hoving Home, I'll be at the back table afterwards. There are items for sale. We have our CDs that are for sale. That's $22. And the reason it's $22 is it helps one of the women stay in the program for one day. That's what it costs to have them in the program for one day. The other thing that's coming up, there's information on the back table, is we're having a walkathon and we're having a motorcycle rally on the same day. So we're going to be busy that day. But the motorcycle rally went really well for the first time last year. And so we're excited to have it again. So if you're interested in coming on those days, or, you know, walking in our walkathon or riding in our motorcycle rally, we would love to have you do that. So at this time, Jill is going to come and share her testimony. And Jill, before you start your testimony, why don't you just, or in there, why don't you tell a little bit about Unshattered? Okay.
Well, Unshattered is a boutique. Well, it's a boutique, but it's also we make purses and pocketbooks and carry bags from repurposed material, and we dedicate them to women that are still out there fighting addiction. And we pray over the bags, and so we have a table in the back there. If you want to check out, see what we have to offer there. Okay. So I had all the ingredients to a successful life by the world standards, but taking 20 years of taking prescription medication and drinking alcohol took everything away from me that I ever cared about. My name is Jill, and I'm from Ridgewood, New Jersey. So my husband and I, we lived in a four-bedroom house with our four sons in suburban New Jersey. We had three from his previous marriage, and then we had one son together. So we both had established careers and advanced education. However, we both drank alcoholically. So after my second DWI, I decided to enroll in an outpatient treatment program. So between that and Bible studies, I remained sober for 11 years altogether, even through my mother's death and my very own wedding. I didn't pick up a drink. However, after the loss of my mother, I was riddled with anxiety and depression, and so I began to see a psychiatrist who also diagnosed me with ADHD. So he prescribed me both Adderall and Klonopin, and these medications became a stumbling block for me because I would continuously run out of them, and each time I did, it would cause me to relapse. So eventually, the school nurse at my son's school, he called child services and reported that I looked intoxicated when I dropped my son off at school. So they required that I take a blood and alcohol test that came up positive for both alcohol and amphetamines. So they had me removed from my house that day. It was then that my husband had to leave his job as on Wall Street as a trader to care for our son because both our parents weren't alive anymore. And so we had nobody to look after him. So during this time, my husband also, he had 8 knee surgeries from a football injury when he used to play for Rutgers University. And he became addicted to opiates. So this led to many battles in court trying to get the custody of our son back. All of our attempts were futile since neither one of us was capable of getting clean and honest at the very same time. It seemed like with every setback would lead to yet another relapse. So eventually there was this one day where I relapsed, and my husband had to take me to the emergency room. I was unconscious. And when I woke up, the doctor had told me that my blood alcohol content was 4.3 and 4.0 is dead. So it was like less than 24 hours later, two police officers came into my room and they reported that my husband was dead. So the coroner's report indicated that he had overdosed from both alcohol and opiates. And even after I was released from the hospital, I still continued to relapse. This time out of, just self-pity. Felt like there was nothing left to live for. Eventually I wound up at Bergen Regional Medical Center. Well, they call it New Bridge Landing now. I don't know. But it was there that I recognized the Hoving Home. I remembered my Bible study teacher's earlier recommendation that I get the long-term help that I needed. And so I called them. They brought me here the next day. And since I've been there, I've reestablished my relationship with Jesus Christ and the whole reason why I'm alive today, following so many small but significant miracles. I have a newfound appreciation for the salvation and the life that Jesus paid on my life. And my future plans are to reestablish my career in human resources somewhere in the New York City area and to get my son back into my life somehow, some way. But only according to God's perfect will in his perfect timing. And the scripture I leave you with is Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want.
Powerful testimony. But she talked about miracles. It's only about the miracles of God. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Here's what we did at the end of last service, and I just think it's appropriate to do it again. We're not going to smother them by laying hands on, so where you're at, would you extend your hand? And we're going to pray over these incredible women of Christ. So, Jesus, it is with joy, God, that we can see and hear and I think even feel your love, God, just in such powerful ways through the testimony of these women. And God, you've called them. You've called them by name. Lord, it's a miracle in itself, and this is for every single one of us, that we're not disqualified but by our past. We're never outside the reach of how long, how strong your arm is. You have enough grace for us, and we thank you for that and celebrate that. And Lord, no matter our story, God, we're all headed to the same destination now. And it's by your grace, it's by the power of the cross, it's by the love of Jesus, we thank you. Bless these women, Lord, bless them on their journeys. Bless them, God, in however many more months each has, and in their transitions from the home. And Lord, just put such a blessing, such a mark of your spirit on each one of them, God, to run this race with you, for you. And completely in you. Jesus, we love you. We love just what you've done today and shared with us. Thank you. Amen. Amen.